Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, connecting you to a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for joining us today. You can subscribe to keep up to date with us. Did you know you can also join our service each Sunday via a live online meeting? Please get in touch to find out more about that. But for now, we pray you enjoy what God has in store for you in this episode and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, welcome.
Good morning and welcome to HBC Online. I'm Jen.
I'm Stu.
And you're very welcome to join us. We're continuing a talk series about holy habits. I think it's called Holy Habits. Am I right? Whew, good memory. And today we're going to be looking at, and Martin will be speaking to us about the Sabbath. Now, Sabbath, it feels like a really old word.
Totally.
Like it's like, I mean, does anybody know what, you can't answer me, but does anybody know what Sabbath is? Because essentially, well, hopefully we'll find out later. That's one reason to watch.
Exactly.
You might find out what Sabbath is.
Yeah.
Generally, you know, back in the days when we believe that God created the earth, he took a rest day or a Sabbath day. And then as the early church formed, this was before Jesus, they would honour the Sabbath day with a day of rest. So you weren't allowed to work. I mean, that sounds good, doesn't it, right? There are lots of other things. There was lots of rules actually around Sabbath as well, wasn't
Many.
There? There's lots of rules. Which Stuart and I don't know them all. So we're just going to have a little chinwag here about, so Stuart, what do you do for rest?
Rest. Okay. So it's probably going to be full of cliches, but like music is important for me
yes,
to rest.
Yes.
Taking the dog out for a walk.
Like getting out there and.
Yeah. It's a bit of brain space, all that kind of stuff. But rest. Yeah. I was sitting down praying. Reading the Bible, that kind of stuff, you know, all those kind of helpful stuff. Yeah. What about you?
Well, rest is quite difficult for me because I have quite a busy family life and then
Absolutely.
Quite a busy work life, and it's all a bit chaotic. And I do feel like that actually, if I get a moment of peace, and that can be rare, but that just, like you say, that sort of like time to go out, just remove yourself a little bit. You know, I've lately... This is not a healthy habit, so don't follow this. Follow the holy habit that Martin talks about later. This is an unhealthy habit, an unholy habit. But I have lately found it really relaxing to, I get into bed and my husband will sit and read his book and have a cup of tea. And I'll have a cup of tea and I've kind of gone off reading a book because I feel like it winds my brain up rather than winds my brain down.
Yeah.
It's not like mindless because I'm having to actually read. So I've started watching an episode of Bones.
Which
it's on, I watch it on Disney Plus, but there's loads of other streaming things I'm sure it's on. And I sit there and I watch an episode of that and it's kind of, you know, just mindless. I suppose it's just switching my brain off. I haven't got to do any thinking. They're going to solve the mystery, not me. I'm not really that bothered. It's just a way of switching my brain off from the day and redirecting it. So, you know, and I find that's at the moment what helps to relax me from like thinking about work, thinking about family, thinking about what's going on, what's happened during the day. It's kind of a redirect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were Stuart, you'd do the holy habit, which is actually redirect your brain through prayer and reading your Bible, which I might get to at some point.
Honestly, like, so, I mean, I tend to do it like in the morning and stuff
before
I can't. Yeah, I can't.
I guess you're quite tired in the evening, so I think that's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
just trying to switch my brain off.
Yeah, totally. I think it's probably a bit erratic as well. Just like when I do it or whatever. But yeah, it's, you know, just yeah, I tend to find
some
like
people relax
it in the
bath, don't they? They just sit in the bath and chill. I mean, if I do that, my kids come and find me.
Oh yeah, that'd be a nightmare.
And also, I'd be too hot as well. So I tend to a shower in the morning when I'm having my shower. Generally, as a rule of thumb, they'll leave me alone. So I suppose
Hopefully.
That's quite a nice time.
Yeah.
And that's usually, I do a thing called Friday Night Worship, which is on Facebook. And that's usually where I get my inspiration and I have my time. So actually, that's my time with God, actually,
nice.
I'm guessing. Because actually, I'm not around, people are leaving me alone and I've got that bit of space.
Yeah.
So anyway, so have a little think on that. What do you do for rest for yourselves? Let's see, we'll be seeing what Martin says about what we should be doing about the Sabbath. As a holy habit, let's have a look at the pre-sermon video.
We all have habits, things we do without thinking. But some habits shape more than just our day, they shape who we're becoming. In Holy Habits, we're exploring five simple practices that help us grow in faith, not out of guilt, but for our good. Everyday Habits of Faith, because change doesn't happen by accident, it happens one small step at a time. This morning at the idea of the Sabbath, and we're going to be taking on a little bit of a journey through the Bible, looking at what does the Bible tell us about what Sabbath is, and what does that look like for us now in our daily lives. So that's what we're going to be looking at. If you want to grab a Bible, there are some just at the back there, or you might have a Bible app, but the words will also appear on the screen when we come to it. I remember quite a few years ago, before I had kids, myself and my wife Jen, we went on holiday to Minehead. Anyone been to Minehead? Yeah, yeah, it's miles away, right on the corner, over by the sea, on the bottom left-hand corner. And at a time, we were living in London, not far from Croydon. And life in London, as you can imagine, is busy and hectic. Everything's open 24/7. You can get anything, you can do anything, all the time, day and night. And we set off to go to what is, in comparison, a very sleepy town by the sea called Minehead. And we turned up there on a Sunday afternoon. And I thought, that's okay, we'll grab some food from the local shop, maybe get a meal. We went out, and it was the place was empty, all the shops were shut. We thought, well, we'll get some fish and chips. All the fish and chip shops were shut. I mean, it didn't help that it was out of season, probably about October, November time. And we just couldn't get anywhere. And that was a shock for us, because we were used to just everything being open all the time. And for some of you, you might be able to remember far back enough to when actually all over the country, everything shut on Sunday. No shops were open, no pubs, everything shut. And maybe you, if you grew up in maybe a Christian family, maybe not. Maybe Sunday, our Sabbath, was a sacred day, a holy day, a day of rest, when actually everything stopped. Maybe you went to church once or twice in the day. Maybe, I wasn't allowed to play football, which was really annoying. And I found it was less of a day of rest and more of a day of boredom, to be perfectly honest. The only bonus was we always got a roast dinner on a Sunday. And it was the only day we said grace as a family. I know some of you probably do it all the time. But for us, we always said grace on a Sunday. But actually, like I said, it could become a bit of a day of boredom. I don't know, for some of you, you might think, actually, that was a really good time for me. For others of you, you're like, actually, that was a real struggle. Real struggle. I didn't really like church. I didn't really like just sitting doing nothing. It was a day of boredom. But actually, for most of us, Sunday isn't like that anymore. But what is Sabbath? Let's take a bit of a dive into the Bible and think, what is the Sabbath? See, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, were given 10 commandments. A guy called Moses, who was leading the country at the time, this band of Israelites, went up Mount Sinai. He spoke to God, and God gave him 10 commandments on these tablets of stone. And he brought them down. God was basically saying to the nation of Israel, if you're going to be my people, if you're going to live my way, you need to follow these 10 rules. Some of you might be able to recite them all, but the second rule was this: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It was a day of rest for the Jews. It was from a Friday evening to a Saturday evening, a 24 period. And it really reminded them of a couple of things. The first thing was that God created the universe, created everything. It took him how many days? 6 days. And on the seventh day, God rested. I'm not sure God particularly needed the rest. He was God after all. But it kind of set this pattern that it was a day that didn't end. It was a day of eternal rest. You can imagine those first humans, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, enjoying just life and union with God. And they worked, they had responsibilities, but it was a joyous time. But then there's something happened called the fall, where sin enters the world. And what sin does is it takes that work and that responsibility and it makes it toil. It becomes hard work. It becomes difficult. It becomes
a burden. And these Israelites, through celebrating the Sabbath every week, one 24-hour period, they remembered that seventh day of rest. They also remember when Moses, that guy, went up the mountain. God, through him, rescued the nation of Israel from slavery, where they had no breaks, they had no rest, and they worked incredibly hard. And God rescued them from that and took them to a promised land where they could find rest. But it also points towards a time when God will come and we will have heaven, I guess, when God's kingdom will come in its fullness and we will have rest. So Sabbath is supposed to be about rest and joy and peace and celebration. And for those Israelites, it would have been remembering creation and God's promises. It would have been about family and community. It would have been about religious rituals. But by the time we come to the New Testament, this is the time of Jesus, then what had been supposed to be so full of joy and lightness had become a heavy burden. In fact, there were 39 categories of forbidden work, things you were not allowed to do on the Sabbath. So it could have been sowing, plowing, reaping, kneading breads, weaving, tying knots, lighting a fire, carrying certain items. You couldn't walk more than half a mile from your home. There was no cooking, which might have been great for some of you. You couldn't even light a lamp. And there was this heavy religious atmosphere. What should have been joyful had become a burden. But Jesus wants to speak something different into that heavy atmosphere. And this is the words he says in Matthew chapter 11. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to 11, and we're going to look at verse 28, and then we're going to go into chapter 12 as well. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All sound very lovely, doesn't it? But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on and he makes two claims which really just upset all the religious people at the time. Let's carry on in chapter 12, verse 1. "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath." Remember the Sabbath? Remember all these prohibited activities, things they weren't allowed to do, day of rest? His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. Now that came under one of those prohibited activities of sowing. Not sowing, reaping. That's the one, reaping. So the Pharisees, who were sticklers for religious law, they were experts in it and experts at keeping it and wanted to make sure everyone else kept it as well. They said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." In other words, if you claim to be such a great religious teacher, then why are you letting your disciples break one of our most sacred rules? Now, I haven't got time to go through every aspect of Jesus' argument. You can carry on reading it, do a bit of research, and Jesus comes up with various reasons to refute them. But in verse 8, he says these words, "For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Two titles here. Both of those, Jesus is referring to himself. The first one, Son of Man, is taken, it's a phrase taken directly from a prophecy by Daniel. Daniel, you might remember, he got chucked in with a den of lions, but miraculously was saved by God. And he's taught about this future when God's kingdom will come and this Son of Man will come and reign. And Jesus is saying is that I am that Son of Man. I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. I am the one that was promised all those years ago. So that's going to upset them for a start. The second one is that I am the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that that Sabbath that you have been doing every single week for hundreds, if not thousands of years, all those festivals you've been having that remembers God's, remembers his promises and looks forward to the time when God's kingdom will come again, you are seeing that completed in me. That I will bring that rest, that Sabbath rest that you have been pointing towards through Sabbath and festivals. In fact, When Paul was writing to the Christians in the church in Colossae, he said to them, these festivals and this Sabbath, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. All those Sabbaths were merely a shadow of the man that is Jesus. And we don't hug a shadow. We hug the man that casts it. We cling to Jesus. That through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, we are able to enter into that Sabbath rest. No more striving to be enough, free from the burden of religious laws and regulations, with a sure and certain hope of eternal, ultimate rest, free from striving, sin, and sorrow. And Jesus is saying that if you follow me, this should be your lived reality. Not one day a week, but 24/7. And this is why, out of those Ten Commandments that are given by Moses, only one is not reaffirmed in the New Testament. So nine of them, they're repeated in the New Testament. Yeah, we've got to still follow those. Only one isn't. You can probably guess what it is. Keeping the Sabbath. See, only one that is not reaffirmed in the New Testament. Why? Because if we're following Jesus, then every day should be a Sabbath. Our whole life should be a reflection of the fact that through Jesus, the kingdom of God has started to break through into our reality. In the gospel, that's what all the miracles are about. It's not just the showing the love of God for those that are broken, but actually it's a sign of God's kingdom breaking through in the miraculous. There is no, and this is important concept to grasp, there is no religious obligation on followers of Jesus to follow the Sabbath at all. To have that 24-hour period set aside, we have to follow the rules and regulations. There is no obligation. We are freed from that. But put your hand up if you're a follower of Jesus and you are living a 24/7 Sabbath of rest and joy and celebration where everything is stress-free and life is wonderful. Understand, if you're retired, I take that as read, that that's what your life is like. But put your hand up if that's what your life is that you're experiencing now. No. The reality is that God's kingdom is breaking through, but it is rare and it is miraculous. And we're in this now not yet time when we are thankful for what Jesus has done, but we wait for the time when Jesus will return again. And we can remember that and celebrate that when God, Jesus will come and his kingdom will be coming, God's kingdom will come in fullness, and there will be no more sorrow and no more tears. There will be rest. I remember in my 20s, still a little bit now, the concept of death and the life after I found incredibly scary. This idea of eternity, that's a pretty long time. But the one thing that made me look forward to heaven was the idea that things could stop and I could rest because I was worn out. And maybe that's where you are at this moment. Actually, life is difficult and life is hard. It's full of strain and stress and striving for purpose or recognition or just to get food on the table. And you just look forward to that time when you can stop and rest. For so many people in our society, in fact, the vast majority of people in our society, life is full of stress and strain and the threats of burnout. In fact, in a burnout report 2025 for the UK, it discovered that 91% of UK adults have experienced high or extreme levels of pressure or stress in the past year. That's almost 100%. That's almost everyone. 63% of workers have shown symptoms of burnout. 74% have felt so stressed in the past year they have felt overwhelmed or unable to cope at some point. So this is the reality of most of the people in the society and probably therefore most of the people in this room. that actually, yes, there may be no religious obligation for us to have a Sabbath, but actually we need the Sabbath more than we have ever needed it, because we need to build into our lives time to rest and to pause and to escape those things that bring us stress. And actually, I don't know where you're at in terms of your faith journey. You might be here just exploring Christianity. You might have been a Christian for years. But if you're a follower of Jesus, your life should be different to those that aren't following Jesus. And my question to you is your life different with respect to rest and relaxation? Is your life living what Jesus wanted his followers to exhibit, that 24/7 Sabbath of joy and rest and celebration? See, perhaps we need to be more intentional about taking Sabbath rest. Now, that need not look like the traditional Sabbath that maybe you grew up with, maybe that 24/7 period. I would say that church is hopefully a really important part in that. Actually, that intentional stepping out of life just for a moment to come here. Hopefully, this isn't a burdensome thing to do. Hopefully, this is a time for you to just rest and relax and connect with God. But there are lots of ways you could do this in your life. And really, there's two questions I want you to ask yourselves when thinking about how can I incorporate some Sabbath rest into my life. The first thing is, what replenishes you? What replenishes you? Because that will look different for every one of you. Put your hand up if you love gardening. Oh, Josie quickly put her hands down. Put your hand up. Hey, who loves gardening? Yeah, you do. And it's, for some of you, maybe it's just a time for you to just, oh, I just love digging in the dirt and getting my hands dirty and doing. Put your hands up if the idea of gardening is just abhorrent. You hate the idea. Yeah. See, some of you might be DIY, some of you might be writing, some of you might be sports. There might be things that you do that just replenishes you. It just gets you out of life for a bit and it just allows you to just rest. It might be walking the dog. It might be time with family and friends. It might be time away from family and friends. So that's the first question, is what replenishes you? But the second question is really important. What causes you to rejoice in God's goodness? What can you do that replenishes you and just causes you to go, oh, thank you, God, you are good. Thank you that I can do this. Thank you for my life. Yeah, the things are difficult, but I just thank you that you love me, you cherish me, and thank you for everything you've given me. What replenishes you and what causes you to rejoice in God's goodness? And my challenge to you this week is take 1 to 2 hours to do Sabbath, to do those things that are going to bring you joy, bring you rest, and bring you closer to God. I'm going to finish by reading those verses from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30 again. But this time, there was a guy called Eugene Peterson, who was a church minister in America, and he rewrote the whole Bible in his own words. And this is how he rewrote these verses from Matthew 11. It's called The Message, if you want to look it up. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This week, how can you start to learn the unforced rhythms of grace? Let's reflect on these questions. Take a moment to consider your life. Where are the stress points? Where are you working too hard?
What drains the life from you? Choose one thing not to do this week. Now bring to mind those activities and times that bring you joy and leave you feeling replenished. Give thanks to God for them. And choose one thing to do this week that will replenish your soul.
Well, I think we can't really not talk about either of those. Really points to do rather than questions isn't it? I mean, I think there are obviously there were questions there as well. So they're quite long. So have them in front of me. Have you got them? Yeah. Adrian's got them.
Magic.
Well, that's tiny. I'm not going to read it from there. So the first one is take a moment to consider your life. What are the stress points? Where are you working too hard? What drains the life from you? Drains the life from you. Oh, dear. And choose it's one thing not to do this week. So Stuart, I come to you first. What is the one thing you are choosing not to do? What would that be for you?
Do you know what? I think that's actually really difficult.
It's quite hard to put things down, isn't it?
It is. It is because obviously kind of the stuff that you do tends to be pretty important. Mm. And like there's a reason that you do
it. You're already prioritised in a way. Yeah. Doing stuff that you need to do.
I think so.
Don't eat for the week.
Well, that'd probably be a good idea actually to be in all fairness.
There are some, and I think that's what's really difficult, isn't it? Because we get up into that busyness and that when we can justify and it sometimes is justified. That's,
there it is.
What we're doing is what is really needed, and we need to keep going with that. And so to not do something seems like the wrong thing to do, which actually it might be the right thing to do. So it might be, so as we were discussing earlier, it might be that I actually don't watch Bones before I go to sleep and I do something different, like sit there and just thank God for what has gone well that day. Yeah. Or it might be that, I try and encourage my kids not to find me everywhere that I am and have a not interrupted time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not really me not doing something. So that's more them not doing something. But it is really difficult because I think what's also difficult is you're not totally in control of it yourself.
Yeah, there's so many things that can influence your day that are completely out of your control.
So like as the video is playing, I was going through the answers, not Stuart's being sensible. And it said, choose one thing not to do this week. And I was thinking, well, that's fine. I won't go to work, which is not a thing you have control over, really, if you want to earn your money and please your work environment. So it's what is that? So I think that's quite a challenge, actually. Choose one thing not to do this week. I think that's quite challenging.
It is, yeah. I mean, as we're talking, I'm trying to think, what can I not do that's going to, like, you know, be of real,
it's
real
a bit
benefit?
Thought.
Yeah, totally it does. Yeah, because because you tend to do the stuff anyway that you enjoy and like as much as possible. Yeah.
Well, you do that to counteract stuff that you have to do, which is something you can't give up. So
that
if you have
true.
To work,
then
you want to be able to do stuff with your relaxing time, but with your time that's out of work. Which is, doing stuff with your family. Yeah. So, and that's.
I mean, honestly,
on your time.
I like my job. I like my job. I'm not going to say it's never stressful because that wouldn't be true, but I like it.
You rise to that pushes you to be your best sometimes. Stress can sometimes. Those
it does.
Times
can
make you push you out of your comfort zone, make you challenge yourself.
That's very true.
I think it's just the extreme of that. And I think we get into, a pattern of life that's almost like it accepts stress as the norm. It accepts those stress points as a thing that we just have to accept and that are there. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we have to learn ways to manage them. So it's thinking about what is that for you that help, what is the thing that you need to not do to help you with that balance of actually dealing with those stress points? Because those stress points are probably still going to come, I don't think. Not doing something is, but actually, are you making yourself do too much? Are you like then going, well, I've worked really hard, I've been really stressed, so I absolutely need to push myself and I've got all these things that I need to do out of work, like I need to spend time with my family or my friends, or I have to do this and I have to do that, and I need to, and you put those extra stresses on yourself. And actually the thing that you might go, do you know what I'm not going to do, is I'm not going to do something every night this week, and one evening is going to be for me. And that could be the counteract of what you're not going to do. I'm not going to fill my evenings. And the thing that you, moving on to the next thing, which is now bring to mind those activities and times that bring you joy, leave you feeling replenished, give thanks to God for them. Choose one thing to do this week that will replenish your soul. And for some of us who maybe don't get our energy and just from people, but do feel that we need to fill our spare time with those people because we need to do that, it might be actually saying, do you know what? It's okay if I Tuesday evening I have to myself. It might be that one thing that you do.
Yeah, definitely.
What's the thing that you think would be the one thing that you would do this week to replenish your soul? Well, that's quite deep, isn't it? Replenish your soul.
Yeah, I think definitely just go and do something with my family. Yeah, just,
yeah, so you're, that's your place to
absolutely. Rest just, and energy. Yeah, because you're not always afforded that opportunity just because, you know, life is busy.
Yeah.
You know, just, yeah, it's not always simple as, or being that spontaneous, shall we say.
Yeah.
You know, just because, life has its structures.
It might be actually for you, it might be actually planning that in and as part of your week, whereas sometimes that wouldn't happen if, as much as you'd like.
Yeah,
I think definitely. That's similar for me. It's actually that, you know, pausing when, you know, so I tend to work from home, so my kids will come in from school and they'll rush in to tell me about their day. To be fair, I'm usually in an MS Teams meeting, so I can't go, oh, yes, that's nicer. But actually, when I can pause and take just that moment, it's fine to take 5-10 minutes, walk away from my screen, even if I'm still in my working hours, and go and find them and say, okay, just you tell me a bit more later, but give me a quick overview of what you've done. Just taking that time to, you know, have some quality time with them rather than a sort of quick, I'm on a meeting or I need to go into this meeting, you know, brush, you know, just stress, because then you've got two stresses, haven't you? You want to be with your family, but you also have got to be at work.
Mm-hmm.
So that for me, I think, was possibly something I would do. I have to say, Martin, who was speaking, is my husband, so I'm going to hold him to that 1 to 2 hours.
Definitely.
I was saying
it.
That wasn't I was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
An agent who's our supporting us on laptop today, he said, you need to take that soundbite and just keep playing it back to him. So I've got that. but it can be really difficult. And I think the two feed into each other. So what are you not going to do feeds into what you are going to do. To counteract that, isn't it? And I think I probably struggle to work out spaces to properly rest. I mean, you know, go to sleep, but even then I can be like churning things over in my head and have a fitful night. It's like, what are we doing to properly feel like we've paused, rested? And I think one key thing is, and we were talking about this as well, weren't we? Is actually that thanking God. So both Stuart and I are Jesus followers, which means we believe in Jesus and we want to follow his ways. And often when you stop, particularly in that stress point, you do that, Lord, please help me. Or I've stopped because I need to ask for your help here. I've tried to do it all on my own. I've kept going. I'm now quite stressed. I need your help. And then that doesn't naturally always come, the pauses to say,
true,
thank you for being with me that today. That was quite a rough day, but I know you were there for me. Thank you for that. And now I'm going to take some time to rest and decompress. And I think I know I'm quite bad at that because the next thing just comes along and you just keep going. And I think that's where we are, as Martin was saying, in very much danger of that burnout sneaking up on us. So I think as well as I'm going to sort of add that in, if even when you do something, maybe something is a captured moment of saying, do you know what? Thank you for this day. I'm here today. All my limbs.
Yep.
Whatever it is,
you
know, it might be very small. I've woken up this morning. Thank you, Lord. You know, it might be very small achievement for you in that day. None of us know what we're going through or what you're going through, but just to think about what is that little thing that you can thank God for, or to say thank you for something. And I know there's some people that do that. It's accountable to somebody. So Stuart and I were being accountable to each other. I texted you three things I was thankful for that day and vice versa. You could do something like that. So just, have a little think, have a little chew over on what you won't do this week and what you will do. And if you've really enjoyed this talk and this podcast, please share it with others and spread the word that we're here. You can access it through podcasts, HBC online. There's lots of social media where we are. I don't know all of the platforms, but you Google us, you'll probably find us.
You'll find us.
It's been, if you have any questions and you want to send them in, we've got questions at hawleybaptist.org.uk. That's got questions at hawleybaptist.org.uk. And somebody will answer any question. It doesn't have to be just about today's talk. It can be about anything that you want to ask about. And we'll try and help out with that. And if you want to know more about what Hawley Baptist Church is doing, either online or in Hawley, then you can email in join.in@hawleybaptist.org.uk. Thank you for joining us. We'll say cheerio. Cheers, guys. Bye.
See you later.
That is it for today's episode. Well done for joining us and making it here to the end. Hopefully you feel slightly encouraged at least, or that you want to follow Jesus just that little bit more closely. You can join us in the room on a Sunday, but if that's too big of a next step for you, did you know you could also join us online for a video feed to one of our morning services? Do get in contact with us if you'd like to find out how you can do that. If you've got any questions about what you've heard today or about anything that's to do with following Jesus and just church lives, things we might be able to help you with, we've got an email address just for you. It's gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you there. Don't forget to share this. If you've enjoyed it, somebody else might do too. Share it with your friends. If you want to keep up to date with all that we do, hit that subscribe button to maintain that link with us and all that we produce. You can find it as well, links to these different things, on hawleybaptist.org.uk/media as well. Thank you for joining us again. We pray God blesses you, and we will look forward to you joining us next time.